This is a rain rerun.
Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You've connected with the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Rich Moseson, W2VU, was a junior at Spring Valley Senior High School in Spring Valley, New York, in 1970. That was the year he earned his first ham call, WN2QQN. Today, Rich is the editor of CQ Magazine and editorial director for both CQ VHF and Popular Communications. In his recent interview with Moseson, Hap Holly, KC9RP, asked Rich about his journalism background and how his writing evolved into his being editor of CQ today.
I've been a professional writer and journalist since I was 15, same time I got my ham license. I worked for a local broadcast station as a teenager in the early 1970s in suburban New York City and in the Hudson Valley. I went on to study journalism in college, one of two majors. I double majored in broadcast journalism and political science. I went to work in a couple of radio stations after I got out and did a little bit of political science too, spending a couple of years working with the New York State Senate in Albany, and then back into journalism and ended up writing for the Associated Press Broadcast Wire. From there, I landed a job with the help of ham radio at CBS News doing a children's news program called In the News. That was 1980. I was there until 1992 when I started working for CQ doing videos, then moving into magazines with CQ VHF and then with CQ.
With this rather full plate you had, when did you have time to have a social life and actually get married along the way?
Well, I did somewhere along the way because I am married, have two kids, one in college, one in high school.
Did ham radio have anything to do with you meeting your wife?
Indirectly, it did. She lived in the same apartment complex I did. I had a dipole antenna outside my apartment going off up into the trees at a strange angle. I called it a horizontal V-beam sloper dipole. One day I was off at work at the Associated Press doing a midnight shift or something. One leg of the antenna came down in the wind. I got home at 9:30 in the morning to find it neatly rolled up with a nasty note on it, yelling at me about how dangerous it was and people could trip over it and hurt themselves. And it wasn't signed. And I found out years later that it was my future wife who wrote the note.
And you were married?
1984.
So we're now into the 90s. You've got a family and you're writing for CQ Magazine. At what point did you become involved in the editorial side of CQ?
When I started at CQ, I was producing a series of videos for them because I had no magazine experience at all, except for occasional articles that I'd written. We were done with the videos. For a while there, I was what we called director of stuff. I didn't have anything ongoing to do, so I pitched in everywhere and tried to come up with ideas that would help sell magazines and things like that. One of those ideas that came along was the 50th anniversary of CQ in 1995. Somewhere in the early part of 94, I had mentioned to Dick Ross, K2MGA, who's CQ's publisher, that, gee, we ought to think about doing something special for the 50th anniversary. He said, good idea. Why don't we all get together and write down some ideas and get together again in a few weeks and compare notes and see what ideas people have come up with. Since I was the only one who didn't have any defined responsibilities at the time, I was also the only one who had any time to think and write stuff down. So we had this meeting and I was the only one with any ideas, so therefore I got put in charge of it. A major part of that 50th anniversary celebration was the January 1995 anniversary issue, which included a huge special section covering the last 50 years in ham radio. Putting that together and writing a good part of it too was really like editing an issue of a magazine. So that was what really got me my first experience in the editorial side of putting a magazine together, working with Alan Dorhofer, who was the editor at the time, and Gail Schieber, K2RED, who was and is managing editor. After we were done with that, we were talking about trying to start up a magazine for new hams. It was our feeling that the editorial level of CQ and every other magazine that was out there at the time was a little too high for new hams, assumed some experience. And we had all sorts of plans in place and decided to do a professional survey of new hams to see if what we thought they wanted was actually what they wanted. And we were quite surprised to find out that, no, we were quite wrong. The new hams that we surveyed did not want a magazine directed at new hams, because they didn't want to consider themselves new for very long, but they wanted a magazine focused on what they could do with the license they had, which in most cases was a technician license. And it was from that that CQVHF was born. The first issue came out in January of 96, and that was on-the-job editor training. We had a darn good magazine. It still is.
Did it go away for a few years?
It went away for a couple of years. In 1999, Al Dorhofer, K2EEK, suddenly passed away. That's when I became editor of CQ, as well as CQVHF. I very quickly came to the realization that I couldn't do two magazines simultaneously and survive. At the time, CQVHF was kind of spongy financial footing, just barely turning a profit on it. At the time, we didn't think that it would be fair to hire a new editor when we weren't sure if it was going to make it past another year. So we merged it into CQ, brought a lot of the columns and things that had been in CQVHF, such as a public service column, beginner's corner column that had been in CQVHF, and moved them into CQ, where they still are. Discovered that the core readership of CQVHF, which turned out to be not new hams, but longtime dedicated VHFers in most cases, really missed their magazine and wanted it back very vocally. And for 2 years, I couldn't go to a ham fest or look at my mail without getting an earful from someone about why we took away their magazine. So after about a year and a half, we started looking at ways that we could bring it back in a financially feasible way. We finally settled on bringing it back as a quarterly, with a little more of the support coming from subscribers than from advertisers, a different balance than you'd have on CQ, for example. It's been very successful. We brought it back in 2002.
And then we left out.
I had a very interesting thing happen just a couple weeks ago. I got an email from my first contact, Jim Emmerich, WA3JYO, back in November 9th of 1970. He was in Pennsylvania. I was in New York. Hadn't spoken to him since. A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from him saying that he had decided to do a Google search of his call sign to see where and whether it showed up. And it showed up in an editorial that I had written a couple of years ago where I made reference to making my first contact. So he decided to get in touch with me. So it was very nice to hear from him again after just about 35 years, November 9th in 1970, very close to the 35-year mark for my first CUSO. That was a lot of fun.
I've been speaking today with Rich Moses at W2VU, the editor of CQ Magazine and editorial director of CQVHF and Popular Communications. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KCNRP in Chicago.
And that's a wrap for this edition of the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.